Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear friends loved by God, on this eve of Thanksgiving Day, we take just a minute to give thanks and praise to God our Father, the Creator of the universe. Our forefathers saw the value in deliberately pausing their schedules to simply say thanks to God. But saying thanks is something that sometimes is hard for us to do. Saying thanks indicates that someone else is in charge and we're not. Recently in our catechism class, we were focusing on the first article of the Apostles' Creed. And we watched a video from CPH in which Pastor Pete said very aptly, "If you didn't make the universe, you don't get to make the rules." We don't get to decide who's in charge. We know that the one who made the universe is none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is in charge. And not only did he make the universe and all that is in it, but he sustains us. He is the one who makes it possible for us to eat and to sleep, to stay healthy and capable, to do the work that is pleasing to him, and to grow within our relationships with one another and with him. We should be happy that he's in charge. And we see this loving and divine providence nowhere better than in the feeding of the 5,000. Mark 6:34 records that Jesus looked at the waiting and the hungry crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. His compassion and his love are what prompted him to take charge and provide food for them. He did it in a miraculous way, turning 5 loaves and 2 fish into enough food to fill the stomachs of 5,000 men, plus women and children, and have 12 baskets left over. Jesus' love for the people overflowed into an abundance. This overabundance of God fills us too, fills us to overflowing. We have more food and drink than we need, as many Thanksgiving dinners tomorrow will reveal. We have more clothing and shoes in our closets than is absolutely necessary. The overflow of gifts given to us by God extends to the things that we cannot see or even put a number on. We possess now the full forgiveness of our sins, a new life in Christ, an everlasting life that awaits us when we die. One can only imagine what it must have been like to be among the 5,000 people who received such a rich and abundant blessing from Jesus just when they needed it. They had no food. They had no place to go. They had no energy left. Jesus saw this and knew what they needed. Jesus sees us when we need him the most too. He sees what is lacking in us and sends the Holy Spirit to restore us from being lost to being found, from being wayward to following him, from being helpless to having a great help that gives us hope for the future. And like the 5,000 fed, we are satisfied and content because of Jesus. He shows us that the seemingly impossible can become the possible. He takes the smallest seed of faith and makes that faith grow into something huge that can have a big impact on a person, a people, a community. But before Jesus said the 5,000 in this miraculous way, Jesus taught them. This was like food for their weary souls. His words were like manna from heaven that helped them to know that he was the Messiah who was to come. He was the bread of life who would nourish their spirits with the good news of forgiveness, of life, of salvation. Just like we need to eat 3 meals a day to remain physically strong, we must also regularly feed each day on God's Word, the Bible. This will not only make us bolder spiritually, but also more courageous in our witness for the Lord. our spiritual needs are always more important than our physical ones. The 5,000 who were on the hillside that day must have known that, because they made sure to listen, pay attention, and feed on what Jesus said first before receiving the bread and the fish for their bodies. So in the spirit of thanksgiving, and as we move from here, what spiritual blessings might we ask for God's help with? We might ask for a strengthening of faith that we have in Jesus, a faith that comes to us solely through the work of the Holy Spirit. This faith comes not by what we have done, but solely through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This will help us to weather the storms that may be looming on the horizon, the persecutions that are increasingly afflicted on Christians. We might also ask for a better awareness of the insidious attacks of the devil, those inflicted upon us by our current culture. The devil and the world are sneaky, getting a foothold in the doors of our lives without us even noticing. The agenda of the world is increasingly anti-God, anti-Bible, as evidenced in the laws that are being challenged or passed and the protests in our streets. And along with an increase of strength and awareness, we might ask for an increase in his gift of grace, his undeserved blessings on us. As we grow deeper and deeper into the faith, we become increasingly more aware that we cannot keep God's law perfectly. We are sinners. But when we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, receiving us as full heirs of his kingdom. Being forgiven means there's no longer a division between us and God. We have been reconciled. The sin that has been separating us from God is fully removed. This amazing act of God, his love on the cross personified by Jesus, creates a bridge that connects us to God for eternity. And as we come to him in this spirit of thanksgiving, the love of God in Jesus Christ is what is on full display in our lives for others to see. The many things that we are thankful for on this day, both the physical and the spiritual, are like little sticky notes from heaven placed around us to remind us that God loves us. There is nothing good that comes from the Creator God above that is not filled with his love. So what should our response to these gifts be? Well, we can do nothing but respond as Moses' sister did just moments after miraculously crossing the Red Sea. She responded with joy, with singing, with dancing, and playing the tambourine. What can you do today, every day, to say thanks to God for everything that he has given you? Well, we could be like the Apostle Paul, who never stopped giving thanks to God for the people that God had placed around him. The people like the people of Ephesus that Paul loved so much. Or you could also pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. You could pray to know God more, that you would draw closer to him and trust in him. For when we put our trust in God, we remember that God put all things under Christ's feet, made Jesus head over all things, including his church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And we can tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. Putting Christ as our focus of faith helps us to live as a thank offering, giving ourselves to him completely, reflecting the Christ who gave himself as a sacrifice for us out of a total love and commitment that Jesus has for us. So what will you do on this Thanksgiving Day to show your thanks to God? Maybe you could think good thoughts when someone turns off the Thanksgiving Day parade in favor of football. Or maybe eat less. Or maybe wait until after midnight to shop for those Black Friday deals. These are all good things. But I encourage you instead to use your gifts, both spiritual and physical, to be an instrument of God's love, a dispenser of thanksgiving to God, and a teller of the good news of Jesus Christ. And to God be the glory. Amen.